You're listening to Murders He Wrote About with James Arthur Holt, only on The Vault.
Okay, so today we're going to look at a case that is, you know, what struck me about this case right off the bat when I first opened the file on Carla Brada. What struck me first and foremost, and it took me off guard actually, was that she died exactly the same way as our previous story about Arvizu Courtney, that she was smothered and died of asphyxiation. Carla Brada was found dead in an apartment on September 1st, 2011. Now, the big controversy about this was that her boyfriend, who she was living with, was someone that Brada's parents alleged in a subsequent lawsuit, when all was said and done, that Alcoholics Anonymous was responsible for putting her together with this man. This man, when it went to court, showed a lot of, in his testimony, and he testified on his own defense, by the way, that we saw in the Arvizu case, that this man was completely controlling, and by the man I say the man who was charged, his name was Eric Earle. And Eric Earle was arrested within 24 hours of Carla's body being found in the apartment. But the detectives needed more information because there were no witnesses, of course. It was just the two of them. They needed more information. So they arrested him on January 26, 2012, about 4 months later. Now, when it went to trial, a lot of it rested on Eric Earle completely controlling this woman's life, that she couldn't see her friends, couldn't talk to the people that she normally talked to, a completely controlling situation. And it became obvious during the testimony that there were a lot of people that saw this, just like we saw with Courtney Arvizu's case. People see the abuse happening, people calling her and saying, why don't you come out? They suspect that this is a controlling situation, that someone's controlling her life, but they don't move beyond that point. Now, when it finally came down to Eric Earle testifying, you know, on his own behalf, it was revealed that he had, of course, a troubled life, which comes as no surprise to anybody. One of the things that struck me about that case that I think I did report it in the paper, was that he hit his mother with a phone. To me, that was insightful. And there was a lot of abuse directed at the mother from the testimony that I remember that he offered up in court. When he was convicted, about 2 days later, Carla's family filed their lawsuit against Alcoholics Anonymous, alleging that they put her in harm's way, essentially, by putting her in touch with Eric Earle. The case against the Alcoholics Anonymous, which was an interesting one for me to follow up, by the way, because as soon as we reported that there was a lawsuit in connection with this death, there has never been a bigger response from the public in terms of comments. You know, typically at the time, I remember, a really controversial story would have garnered like 18 comments or a dozen comments, all of them nasty. But with this one, we had like 630. And it went all across the nation. I got responses from people all across the country, all across the world. And it was obviously a touchstone for a very, very large issue about Alcoholics Anonymous. Basically, according to the claim at least filed in the lawsuit, kept a very hands-off approach to the forces that they put in motion, basically putting people in harm's way, or people in, up with, you know, married up with alcoholics who are supposedly there to help each other, but with no regard to their specific backgrounds. This touched off so much controversy that I still get calls. I did a radio show in Kansas City for about 4 or 5 installments because it was such a hot topic of discussion that people obviously, not just Carla, across the country and across the world, were finding themselves in the same situation. You know, why would they be married up with someone that goes through no background check? And for AA to dismiss it outright, say it doesn't involve them. They were awarded that decision, by the way. The case against the Alcoholics Anonymous was dismissed in January of 2016. In that time, while all the controversy was brewing, there were, like I say, many, many people that were motivated to act. I found out during the course of the trial that I think it was NBC, one of the network, I think NBC, for 48 hours, whichever network that is, 48 hours, the producers had taped the whole proceedings and were going to do a huge takeout on this issue involving Alcoholics Anonymous and using Carla's story as the test case for this. In 2015, while the lawsuit was still being hammered out, a documentary was made that was game, got all sorts of acclaim. It was called The 13th Step. And it was written by, the producer. Well, I can't remember who the producer was off the top of my head. It'll come to me in a second. But the documentary was so profound that it ended up being judged at the Cannes Film Festival, which is like the biggest film festival you could hope to get your film out there. Monica Richardson, that was the name of the producer, produced The 13th Step. It got all sorts of acclaim. And if anyone out there wants to know more about this issue, that documentary plus the 48-hour episode that was aired are very, very profound in illustrating this problem. And, you know, it still hasn't been resolved. AA still does what it did when AA was set up at the century before last century. The one of the other last things that came my way in terms of the lawsuit, also the people who were sued in jointly with AA were a couple that lives in Canyon Country. They said that they were never sponsors, even though they were put together by AA or brought together by AA. That was their defense. The man in that couple that was named in the lawsuit as being a sponsor or a friend, he was arrested in January of this year for a Big Five. That was what they called it, the Big Five ring, this meth smuggling, meth mailing ring of taking meth and smuggling it, sending it from Mexico through California, through Santa Clarita, to Santa Clarita men. One of them was the former roommate of Eric Earl. And he's in prison waiting on trial on this this drug trafficking ring that did all this meth dealing. But like I say, if you really want to get to the heart of the issue, what makes Carla Broda's case so profound, aside from, of course, the domestic violence, which, again, like I say, with Arvizu was almost identical in terms of the victim, how she ended up losing her life. You should check out this documentary, 13th Step, and you'll know what it's all about with these people that wash their hands of putting people together that shouldn't be put together. There you go.